This is Evening Light, written by Entangled Now and read by Tipsy Kitty. There is a commotion on deck. Steed can almost make out the words from the comfortable nook he calls his own, the clash of many voices in clear disagreement. He sighs and sets his book down next to him, before pushing the covers back and slithering out of bed without bothering to put his robe on. Can't a captain retire early without a general disturbance breaking out? He pops his feet into his deck shoes and heads outside, the air more than warm enough to be comfortable. The crew are clearly in the middle of a heated argument over something. He's been with them long enough now that he suspects it will turn out to be something trivial, which they've nonetheless made a big to-do over. But this is the job of a captain, isn't it? Settling the odd dispute, preferably without violence and bloodshed. He's not just here to be the voice of command, but also of fairness and understanding. What's going on here, then? He quickly becomes the focal point of their attention and their noise, though all he manages to catch is something about sea ghosts, and someone's uncle, and Tuesdays being bad luck to see ill omens. Jim calls at least 3 people an idiot. Ed is nowhere to be found. Perhaps someone could summarize? Steed suggests, when it's clear the thrust of the matter isn't getting across. Everyone attempts to speak at once again, which doesn't help at all. A round of mutual glaring at a second attempt goes no better. He gathers that the Swede saw something over the side, possibly the ghost of a late uncle, but there are conflicting reports from the others. Steed puts himself in front of the group, the late sun setting behind him over the bow. He lifts his hands in a calming gesture, and the noise very quickly dies away, choked into silence in some cases. He congratulates himself on his commanding presence. All right, I think I understand now. But I've got the general gist of it, as it were. I would like to reassure you all that the sea is probably not haunted, and even if it is, everyone knows ghosts can't come out in the daytime, so whatever you saw was probably just a reflection in the water.
Definitely seeing a reflection of something,
Buttons offers, rather loudly. That provokes a round of laughter, some of which is hastily smothered. Perhaps a large fish moving erratically beneath the waves. Steed gives a brief wiggle of his hand to demonstrate the darting movement he's occasionally seen over the side. All that gets them are wide eyes. Jim pinches the bridge of their nose and shakes their head. Several of his crew are now finding the water in question fascinating. Steed decides not to take comments at this time on his knowledge of marine species.
Should we tell him?
Olawande says quietly.
No.
Whoever said that is laughing. Clearly delighted by an amusement Steed is not privy to.
Probably?
Frenchie seems undecided. Tell me what? Steed asks. The looking around suggests that people are reluctant to share. Did someone see something else? Another fish, perhaps? He lifts a hand, in case another demonstration is required. They really can move once they're on the surface.
Please don't do the fish again.
Roach has both hands tucked in his sleeves, shaking his head.
I can't stop looking at it, Wee John says in a heavy whisper. It keeps drawing my eye.
I would like to see the fish again.
Lucius pulls the ship's log in tight, drumming his fingers on the covers as if he's restraining a terrible urge. I'm a visual learner.
We can all see the damn fish,
Jim snaps, which seems to be the end of it.
Right, good, excellent. I'm glad that we're all in agreement that what the Swede apparently saw was a fish and not some sort of haunt following in our wake.
One of the men raises a hand to speak.
Or a dread omen. Or a dead uncle bent on revenge,
Steed confirms, hopefully forestalling further comments.
And as night falls, take comfort in the fact that there are also no tempting sirens on the ocean, luring men to their deaths with deceptive songs.
Are you very sure about that?
Lucius asks.
How's your singing voice, Captain?
They're no longer fighting, at least, and Steed decides to take this as a good sign. He can feel the way the wind is tugging at his nightshirt. His crew can feel it too, judging by the noises they're making.
The weather's supposed to be good overnight. I think the worst we'll get is a stiff breeze, he says, setting his hands on his hips in a position he's judged to be commanding but still encouraging.
Several people smother a laugh. Someone mutters something about there being no room for a stiff anything.
Nothing you can't stand firm against, though,
Steed adds, in case anyone's worried.
And we have a strong mast, the finest wood. You only have to give it a few whacks to know that.
He gives the rail a few slaps of encouragement.
Look how sturdy that is.
Someone should tell him. Oluwande throws a desperate look over the crew. I'm not telling him. Frenchie is very definitely pulling the not it card there. No, but I'm saying someone should. There's clearly something else going on here that they're reluctant to share with him. Steed's told them several times that it's best to get it all out in the open. The wrong secrets can fester over time, like wounds. If the secrets are wounds, that goes doubly so. Did something else happen? You all seem quite fidgety. I want you to know that I'm here for you if you need to share. We don't hide things on this ship. Pete nods. Yeah, we can see that. Oluwande looks pained. We can all see that. The mood of joviality dissipates somewhat when Ed appears from below deck, first as trailing lengths of wild hair and dark eyes, and then leather-clad shoulders. Steed can't help the smile that his sudden appearance tugs out of him. The other man's smiling, too, at least until he gets a good look at him, eyes widening as his whole body makes the deck.
Fuck me, Ed says.
Hello, I wondered where you'd got to. I was just reassuring the crew that the ocean isn't haunted. Steed gestures at the milling figures who are trying to look anywhere else, possibly in the hope they will appear busy to an observer. Nothing but a trick of light on the water.
Uh-huh.
Ed heads over, making his way through the crowd where there wasn't space before. They veer off like a school of fish, back to their tasks. The sunlight's fading now, leaving Ed outlined in streaks of gold from the ocean. It's very fetching. Steed can't quite remember what he was going to say, but he does like the way it dances through the man's long hair, the way it settles on the soft edges of him. Hopefully there won't be any nonsense after dark, he finishes belatedly. You know that's completely see-through in this light, right? Ed's voice trails off towards the end. The words don't register for a moment. I'm sorry, what? The nightshirt. Ed lifts a hand, fingers almost close enough to touch before they change their mind and gesture instead. This light goes right through it. I can see right through it. Chest hair and everything.
You can?
Steed looks down, and sure enough, the sparkle of low sun is outlining the hair on his arm perfectly through the now sheer fabric. It occurs to him he's not wearing anything underneath it, and he's just stood in the sun for 15 minutes attempting to give a commanding speech to his crew. He tries to rein in the quiet panic, and, oh, he gets the innuendo now. What an absolute tit he is. Ah, oh, they could have bloody said something. You have freckles. Ed sounds so curious, mouth gone soft with half a smile, and the strangely focused attention has Steed feeling a little more naked. He watches Ed's eyes stray disobediently somewhere below the neckline, fingers twitching where they're balanced on the waist of his leather trousers. I almost forgot. The tone of his voice is intrigued, as if a great adventure awaits somewhere in the distance.
You did?
You should probably go back inside. Before you start a riot. Dark eyes flick up to meet his long enough to convey something. He's not entirely sure what.
You think people would riot?
Steed asks, not entirely intending the lilt that makes it an earnest question. The idea of anyone making any sort of fuss over him accidentally committing a little public indecency feels a bit silly.
Well, I might,
Ed says, before a frown works its way onto his face. If you liked. Ed's looking straight at him now, waiting for an answer, and Steed finally registers the way the warm breeze curls around and through the fabric, pulling it tight to his behind in a way that now feels as scandalous as it must look.
Oh,
he manages. He's been reduced to spare words, it seems.
I should, perhaps retire to my cabin.
Find my robe, at least. He bunches the fabric in front of him, gives his crew, who are now very carefully not looking at him, a stern glance, and heads down into the ship and out of the rather too revealing evening light. He finds that Ed has somehow beaten him to his quarters. He's leaning against the wood of the doorway, as if he's suddenly not sure whether to venture inside, like they haven't been sharing the space companionably enough for days now. Steve fidgets with his gathered nightshirt for a bit before releasing it. The lamplight down here has never rendered him artistically nude before. That he knows of. Ed makes a soft, considering noise.
Figures.
What does?
You don't even need your fancy wardrobe, do you?
That's not entirely fair, Steed hadn't done it on purpose. I think breeches at the very least. The words fall away because Ed slides his fingers into the neck of his treacherous nightgown, knuckles brushing his bare chest when they curl tight. One step brings him in close, all cold leather and warm skin, falling forward and, oh, kisses. Crooked little presses of warmth where Steed's trying to make noises and being ruthlessly quieted. There's a nudge of pressure. Encouragement to open for something a little more reckless and hungry. Yes, this is more than acceptable. Preferable. Steed's fingers find leather and dig in. The doorframe creaks under their weight, and there's a half-gloved hand in his hair, dragging it out of order until he's panting into the other man's open mouth. "You and your freckles," Ed murmurs, like it was the last shot that took the ship down. "I have quite a few," Steed confirms, a little dizzy from the lack of oxygen. His nightgown is no longer fit for the top deck in any light. "Would you like to see?" The question feels very reckless. But Ed's eyes go wide and dark, the insides liquid, and he's being backed into his rooms, the door kicked shut behind them. The end.